Okay. So, today, what I wanted to do, this will be standalone, David, don't worry. What I wanted to do is, before we move to next week to Das Torah, I wanted to try to put together a lot of the things we've done the last 2 weeks and show you how there was a, you know, how they all came together in a real Shiloh, okay? So, very simply, right? Many, many years ago, already in the time of the British Mandate, there was an institution built called the Rabbi Noda Rashid, right? The first chief rabbi being
Rav Cook.
Rav Cook. There you go. Very good. Thank you. And the question arose as to what their halachic status was, right? So Rav Cook tried, as you know, a visionary, to say that in some sense it should fill the role of the Sanhedrin HaGadol HaYoshev Yerushalayim U'mehem Yotzei Torah L'chol Yisrael v'chulei v'chulei v'chulei. But as you know, Vilev noted, that worked vaguely as an analogy, and that was where it stopped. So there was a real attempt by people to figure out, so what was its authority, right? Why? What does it even mean to have a chief rabbinate, right? Should they have a sharp authority? If they do, what authority would that be, etc. Okay. So people tried, we'll see here, a tshuva that I mentioned in passing last week by Rochelle Yisraeli. Rochelle Yisraeli was the Rosh Hashiva of Americas. there was also a book put out in the, I think it was the 70th anniversary of the Rabbanut Rashid, with, I think it's three volumes of, on the halachic status of the Rabbanut Rashid, and the halachic status of the municipal courts, and the halachic status of this, and the legal status of it, and it's v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. It's like a good 1,000 pages or something like that. There's been a lot of work trying to do this. Okay, so what I want to do is analyze two attempts at grounding the authority of the Rabbanut, and show you how the topics that we dealt with in the last 3 weeks play out. Right, and how you see how, right, these weren't just theoretical discussions, right? The benefits of having a, right, when we did a Selech HaRav, the benefits of having a posek, the benefits of having a rav, the authority of local poskim of Marad Asra, the question of psak being binding, right, all those questions are not just theoretical issues, but right, poskim bring them into real discussion when they're trying to figure out new questions, when they're trying to really establish the institutions that we have halachically. Okay, so the first attempt is that of Rav Shaul Yisraeli, okay? So this is from his collection of Tshuvot, Amud HaYemini. We're not actually going to read all double-sided, you know, eight pages, whatever I gave you. I gave you almost all of the Tshuva, and then an article afterwards from Tchumen, just to give you an idea, so you can actually see how people try to ground these things, and you can read it more yourself. Right? You know, people who've been here know, not really this year, but last year, know that when I read through Tshuvot in their entirety, I'll often do this. I'll give you the whole, or most of the Tshuva, just so you can look at more of it if you would like. Okay, so this is from the Tshuvos of Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Okay, the Raglei, Kama Piskei HaRabbanut HaRashit Yisrael, Shedat, Eitzet HaMenacham Lo Eskim Ayahem. So what happened? Right, how did this question come up? The Rabbanut issued a psak, and some Talmud Chacham argued. So now he says, Yeshna mevocha bekerav atzibur v'gam be'edin tamidei chachamim. So now, people are really unsure amongst the Hamonam and the Tamidei Chachamim, mahi samchuta shal Rabbanut HaRashit nekviat halacha. So what authority does Rabbanut have to establish halacha? Uve'ezu midah psak zeh mechayev et hatzibur. And to what extent does this bind the tzibur? V'ra'iti l'mi shekatav shesamchutam shal rabbanim harashiyim v'shel mo'etzet harav harashiyim lo nishtantang lo nima mima shayah lahem ter mechratam v'tafkidam zeh. Some people claim that the chief rabbis, what's their authority?
Total.
No.
Opposite.
Opposite.
None.
Lo nishtakim lo nima mima shayah lahem ter mechratam v'tafkidam zeh. Exactly. There is literally no difference. Rav Yitzchak Yosef is an important posek because he's an important posek. He's the chief rabbi, so he's the chief rabbi. But being the chief rabbi gave him no more authority than being the author of Yalkut Yosef. Right? Being the author of Yalkut Yosef was very significant. Right? That makes him a very serious posek. I don't know why you're nodding your head, Asher. I was even like, I dafka went with the Sephardi chief rabbi. Like,
but you're claiming that he doesn't have an authority when he says something.
No more authority. That's it. Not less. He has no more authority because he's chief rabbi. He has as much authority as he has being Rav Yitzchak Yosef.
What he says is...
I understand. You think he had 100% authority before, so now he has 100% authority now. So in Ochanami, he didn't go up.
Before it was just for those who followed him. Now, it's every Sparty who ever lived has to come up.
Wait, this here. Okay.
Did you hear what Rav Schachter said about...
Stop.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. Okay. What's their basis for this argument? Torah is binding because it's true. Poskim interpret it. Becoming the chief rabbi did nothing for you. Baram, yesh od kamar b'demonim beirur mem nuchal la'avod al kavach harashim yistam le'elashim yicharu la'amod b'rosh am kadosh. But, right, this is not the whole picture. There are details we have to look into that perhaps there's authority that we need to analyze that stems from the fact that you are in charge of people. So this is the question. Right. We have somebody who was kind of serious Talmud Chacham before, and now he's given authority as the chief rabbi. Right? This is not the Sanhedrin of Gadol Yerushalayim. He doesn't have smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, right, does his ability or his authority as a posek stay the same? Right? Is a posek's authority only from the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he's good at interpreting the Word of God, and the Word of God is binding because...
It's the Word of God.
Thank you. And the posek is just a conduit to interpret it. Or no, is there something about authority that makes his psak more powerful, more binding, once he's gotten the position? Okay? So, here David won't... Well, maybe you could answer, but we'll throw it out to everybody else, right? Assuming that the Rabbi Noda Rashid is not the Sanhedrin HaGadol HaYoshev Yerushalayim, right, the Chol Tokfo, what models would we suggest to discuss this question, right? What questions would we ask? Yes.
Mordasra.
Right, so one would be, is he the Mordasra, right? Right, we know that there is a certain level of authority, which we discussed, to the Mordasra. And you'll see also, Rochelle Israel is going to go back to these questions. Right, what is Mordasra? Is that there is something called an authority of, a local authority. Is the Rabbeinu Rashid the authority of Israel? Okay, other models. Right, so one, now what would give him that authority?
He was chosen by Israel to be...
Right, so right, that's part of the question is, right, is there power to...
Choose.
Acceptance, right? Does the acceptance of someone as a posek, does that give him power? Other questions?
Questions.
Right, other issues that come up? But, I mean, these are the basic questions, right? But we'll see, there are slight nuances within it. But that's really the question that he's going to start with, okay? So first, he actually starts with the question of why is psak binding in general? Before we even get to Mordasra, right, he starts the question of why is psak binding. So, we mentioned last week, why is psak binding? Three possibilities.
You ask. Oh, sorry.
Yes, but why is psak binding?
Kavod.
Kavod ha-chacham. Shavye anafshe chatichadi sura, right, from neder, or shavye without anafshe chatichadi sura, right? Shavye chatichadi sura, either there's a koach of a posek, or you commit to it, it's a midin neder, so to speak, or there's a rule of kavod chachamim, and once you've asked, so you can't retract. So he brings this to God. He says, Karsin b'gemara, nishol chacham v'tim eli yishol chacham v'yitayr, l'chacham v'asar lo yishol chacham v'yatir. Right, if you ask someone a shayla, so then you can't ask someone else. So you shnayim, echad metam v'echad metar, echad ozer v'echad batir, emay echad b'ev gadu b'chachma v'in yehol echa achra, v'in lav ha'lo chacha machmer, yushua v'in karakam v'shal torah achra machmer, v'shal sovrim ho'lo echa achra mekel. And if you don't know what the halacha is, so you go up to the machmer, yushua v'in karakam says no, only by daraisin you go up to the machmer, darabanan you go up to the mekel. Amr v'yosef alachka yushua v'in karakam, that's where we pass, get out, come lashna gemara. So what is the basis of this position? Savik the rest of the Chumra, Savik the Rabba Kula, Sharekaven, Shushnaim, Skulim, Eina, Yechol, Machre, Benim, Yishar, Dabar, Kachol, Savik, Achir, for the reason that if there is no more authority to one posik over another, we go Lechumra by Dereitas, is just like we do by Savik the Mitzius, Savik the rest of the Chumra. Bechina Beritva, the Chavim, the Sveik, Avenik, Din, Kisveik, the rest of the Chumra. Next section. But if that's the case, right, so he quotes something on Ban, but if that's the case, right, if the normal reason that we follow a posik, the reason that we're normally machmer when there's machlokis of poskim is because sveka daraisa b'chomra, or we go kula by derabanan. So why is it that when you ask your shayla, suddenly you have the right to follow that position, b'la kula b'in l'chomra? Right? So, the Ritva had an answer that we saw. What's the Ritva's answer? Shav yechaticha di isura. Or shav yechaticha di heitega. Haritva medayz kushan abon amach. Shlo nemar klal amur sholchem the right lachmer ela lachirim. Aval idithu gufayu vaday. Came into school of Ninu kol echad omei bishmoaz of his own noe kidvara vafilu kula vizet noe kidvara. The rule of sveka darayz lachomra is only in general. But if you actually ask a shayla, so now you are entitled to follow that psak. And the rules of Daraisa Lechumra, Savik Darabat and Lekula is only by the next Shaila, when it's not this question. But the question itself, the issue at hand that you actually asked a Shaila about, came in the shulam heim evchi hadade ivlu guba ein oraz Israel moza chaticha. And the second posik is not able to override the psak of the first posik, and you are entitled to follow that psak. V'hachi muchach v'yivamos darin hasim to ishil v'shamay elosim kedivrem elosim kedivrem v'yimatirim tzaras habas la'achem ayis mutaris legasalem she'al kol echad ve'echad shamayis. Right, and he goes to Sugi Nivamos, where Beisil and Beisham are both entitled to follow their own psak. And anyone who wants to paskin is allowed to paskin. But now he asked, what is the basis? Right, why is it that a posek has the ability to create a halachic reality? The gam chiluko zeshal ritva tzarich beir kaven shu atzmo harikasa b'hashen gin lachurma kishenechlu b'shal torah mishum shu kachol tzveka d'arayz lachurma. Right? If in fact you think the rule is general, in general, is that when there's a suffix you go lachurma, why is it? Right? I understand you said that it's okay, that great, you asked a shayla, now you're allowed to follow it, but why? Right, that doesn't make any sense. Right? What's the difference between this piece and the next piece? In the end of the day, if you're saying that this psak isn't machriya forever, then at a fundamental level, it remains a suffix. And if it remains a suffix, why are you allowed to rely on your posik? So skip to Dalit. So the Beir Advarim Navi Mashakazva Ritva. Oh, I mentioned this last week, but now to see it inside. So he quotes the Ritva. The Indian Chacham Azar Chaver Shalahatir Shazeno Rak. At first, knows that the Ritva rejects the position this is about Kavara Chacham, and therefore he says, even B'di'evet, the second posek, cannot change the first posek's psak. So you skip to that paragraph. What you learn from this is that when somebody paskins, they have the ability to transform the object, to create a metaphysical status of a psak halacha. As long as he doesn't make a fundamental mistake in a basic text. It's not from Sefik Chorma Kedrasa Ritva Fil Noda Shita. Behind Yusha Sheni Agado Bechachma Minyan Sover Batuach Shita. Mikomakom Apsach Shavishin Kayan Kiyesh Rishus Visamchos Lechacham Aroy La Ra Lisok Ulachriya Bedavar Nasun Lishikala Das. A posek has the ability and the right to paskin. Me'achar Lefishi And since the posik thinks this is the halacha, re kach adin, that is the halacha. V'chaticha nazes chaticha di yisura sheshuv ein lahet erolames, and it becomes aser and can never become mutter. Val pizeni rapasha jein evdel ben mor lahet or mor laisur, and there's no difference between kula ben lachumra. Umasha rid from mechalik ben name is bar la'alon bezus Hashem v'anira shemekor lazeh. Now what's the source? No, he didn't know, but this, in fact, is the source explicitly of the Ritva, but he didn't know that. I don't know. He apparently missed it. But Nirashim Akor Lazeu Mash Amru Torah Shoftim Mishotrim Titan Lecha. The source for the ability and the responsibility, the ability of someone to follow his posek, even Lechumra, even Lekula, not just Lechumra, is
Shotrim Mishotrim.
Right. Lotazur Adawar Shagidu Lecha Yamid Yismal. Where does the Ritva say that explicitly? Not in Avodah Zarah Nav Zayin, but. No. On Shabbos Daf Kuflamin, in the Sugya of Morat Asra. Right, we did see this, yes. The Ritva says explicitly that the authority of your own personal posik comes from the same pasuk as that which authorizes Bezan Hagadol Yoshev Yerushalayim Shalat Sibar Limnos Aleim Shoftim Ulaftiach Yishmu Lidivrayim, because it is your responsibility to have poskim. If it's your responsibility to have poskim, it must be that God gave you the ability to listen to them. They paskin based on their mesara or based on their svara. And since the authority of a posek, his ability to change the metaphysical reality of this object, of this case, stems from the fact that you have accepted him as your shofet v'shoter asher yelecha, therefore, psak is only binding
if you accept him, if you ask.
On the question that you asked. Right? Even though the next question may be the same question, it doesn't matter. Psak is only binding local. Okay? And then he said the next paragraph, and this is what true whenever there's not a toes bidvar mishnah. Let's skip down a little bit. Right, and hey, he fleshes this out more. So let's look at hey. So now you're going to tell me, how is this possible? Lomar shekol bezin shemora va mikach shekol adas harasa ora mechayevet as a tzibur ba'ochi itachen sheta. How could it be that someone creates a metaphysical status called psak? Maybe he made a mistake. Ubezin shemamakom acher mora ba'acheres, and someone else will pass him differently. So he says, to who a piece she calls about ritva. So what does the Ritva say? The Ritva the Shitaso holds that Elu Ve'elu means that there are actual multiple truths. If there are actual multiple truths, then what makes it that psak is binding?
Because you
asked the shayla. And the role of the posek, the role of shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chav l'chav sharecha is? Is what's the role? To choose which of the possibilities that are actually true in this in the metaphysical realm of Torah, you will be bound to follow. And this power for every Bezdin comes from their comparison to the Bezdin HaGadol. Shekoach Bezdin HaGadol Lekva et Etzem Halacha, because the role of the Bezdin was to create Halacha, and then it goes on to say, and that is the role of any personal posek. Okay? So now if you skip to Vav. And that's why if the Ritva says that if the question comes in front of two people at the same time, Therefore, since if you ask two people at once, none of them has authority over the other one, you have the right to follow either one. Okay. So now if you skip down to Ches, right here in Ches, he notes, right, he continues on this theme that things are not binding when the two poskim got it at the same time the Beis Medrash. Okay. So now skip down to Yud. Okay, so the first thing he notes is that first question we have to put on the table is Psak binding? Yes. Why is it binding? Because when you ask somebody a Shaila, what you've done, oh, no, sorry. There's one more important paragraph. Right, look at the paragraph right before Yud. V'nira li shezeu hez berakesef mishnah shehiksha mayin echolam amarayim lachlok al tanoim. And he said, I'll skip the paragraph and explain what happened there, okay? So he said, the Kesef Mishnah says, why is it the Amoraim were not able to be cholik on the Tanoim? The Teretz, Shemayom, Chasimas, HaMishnah, since the day that we sealed the Mishnah, Kimu, Vekiblu, Shador, Zachronim, Lo, Yachloku, Lo, that should be, Al, Harishonim. We accepted after Stimas HaMishnah and then after Stimas HaTalmud that we wouldn't argue in the earlier generations. Why can't we retract? So now he says, why is it that you can't retract? Because what did you do by asking a shayla? What did you do by accepting a posek? You transformed them into your Rebbe, and by transforming them into your Rebbe, what did you do? You made it that they were the ones responsible to define the halachic status of this object. And from now on, you can't argue on them. Okay? So what did he add to what we saw last week? Where he puts everything together and he says, why is Psak binding? Because there are multiple possibilities, and the role of a posek is to discern which theoretical possibility you're now bound to. But how did he get that role? Because by asking the shayla, what did you do? You made him your Rebbe. And that is what gave him the power, because why does your Rebbe have the power to make a decision?
Because he could define the halachic object.
And why can he define it? Where did that notion come from? Right, all goes together. You have the responsibility to pick a posek. If you have the responsibility to pick a posek, once you've picked him, he becomes your posek. And since there are multiple theoretical possibilities, the job of the posek is to concretize the halacha. Mimela, you ask a shayla, he becomes your Rebbe. He becomes the person responsible and able to define the halacha for you. So that's in general. And then Yuri says, in cause of Arama, Ein Laharus is Reheter, Olidrosh, Vilinhog. You can paskin in the place of your friend. And he quotes places where the Gemara refers to the notion of Mar Asra. And then he continues in this paragraph, right, to establish the notion that this general idea of a posek manifests itself in a very specific way when it comes to Mar Asra in a place, right? If you just see the things he bolted, I didn't bolt this, he did. Right, in his place, he is the Rav. Fine. So now you go to Yud Aleph, okay? V'inei ha-Rabbanut ha-Rashid kiblu aleim rov ha-tzibur sher Yisrael b'tor rabboseyem. And now he puts these arguments together and says, Klal Yisrael, Rove of Eretz Yisrael, has accepted the Rabbanut HaRashit as their Rabbanim. The Gama Rabbanim and the Kuyamim Eina Mekablam Ela Bishur Shal Rabbanut HaRashit, and all the other rabbis get their authority from the Rabbanut HaRashit. Nimtzat Rabbanut HaRashit Yesh Lohem B'chol Makom Sher Yisrael Tokev Shal Mar Da'asra. If the power of Mar Da'asra and Posek in general came from your acceptance, then, in Eretz Yisrael, where the Rabbanut HaRashit was accepted by Klal Yisrael, Even if you don't hold it, the power of the Sanhedrin, they have the power of Morda Asra. Kigam Rabbanei Makom Einam Ba'alim Elo B'Shlichutam Mimela Kayemet Klapayem Halacha Sharama Anal Shein Lora Neged Psak Shalahem, and therefore you can't paskin against them. Vein the Farsim Halacha L'Maisadei Hashem Neged L'Psak Halacha Shalahem, and therefore you cannot paskin against them. Kolod Ein Adar B'Chinatod B'Dvar Mishnah, unless they made a mistake B'Tav B'Dvar Mishnah. And then he skips the next paragraph and he says, "V'emamnam klaplei oso chelak sivur shmeikara lo kibul alavet rabbanu rashi." And what about those people who didn't accept them? Yesh ladun she'ein bazem yishum lo tisko to do. Right? See, once Rove has accepted them, if anyone else doesn't, they violate lo tisko to do, which, as we saw, is yet another reason why Pesach is binding. We didn't focus on it, but it was the second part of the Ron's argument. The reason that Psak is binding is because of Lotus Godu. Bishne Batidin Birachaz of Hanal, Abel Oso Tzibur, Vuroba Yishuv Shebert Israel. Shebachur Barabanu Rashid, Virom, Emid Rabosayim, Klapeyem, and Klape Rabbanim, Misham Shimbozim Gilos, Mikoch Minu, Vaskam Zarbana Rashid, Vada, Yishuv together, Amar the Avzer, Shedinam Din, Upsakam Psak, Amashan Gail, Shelis Rehetir, Kol. So that is Israeli. And you see how everything we talked about in the last few weeks, right, comes out here. Right? We've emphasized, right, the binding nature of Psak stems from the fact that there are multiple possibilities. And that somebody has to make the decision. That person becomes your own personal, so to speak, avenue of Lotasur. Morda Asra is that on a more communal level, and what gives him the communal authority is the acceptance. When you put it all together, the community accepts them as the right shofet, Asher Yebi Amim Ahem. Mimela, he has the ability to paskin. What he adds here is that in Eretz Israel they were accepted, and therefore no one else has the right to accept an alternative authority, and therefore the Rabbanut HaRashit is binding. Yes.
Is that actually true?
Hold that thought. Okay? Or, no, don't hold that thought, okay? We'll skip to it now. Now, one thing we've talked about a lot in the last few weeks, however, is what's the first thing you got to check, right, when you're talking about the bindingness of Psak? This is all nice in theory, but what is the first thing you got to ask, Ariel? What did you just ask?
Whether the
Matthias
is true.
Which
Matthias?
Good! Right? Is that true? What we've emphasized the last few weeks in the bindingness of Psak and the question of Ardasra is that this is all fine and good, but if it's predicated on acceptance, then what do you need to prove?
They were accepted.
That way they were accepted. So Rav Lichtenstein has an article, a very nice article, which was originally published in Tradition. It was republished in Leaves of Faith about the chief rabbinate. I gave you only one paragraph in it. Now, the Israeli chief rabbinate, a chronological perspective, the last page. So he starts the article by outlining some of these points, right? That there's authority to Morda Asra, and Morda Asra might be defined ideologically, and we have the ability to choose it. And there are benefits to having a centralized authority. There are downsides because it limits multiplicity of halachic voices, but on the other hand, there's a benefit because there's less locus go to do, there's less schism, right? There's a more cohesive halachic community. But he notes that fundamentally, what needs to exist in order to claim that Rabbanut HaRashit has the status of Morda Asra, right? The Israeli makes a very radical claim, just like Shas Bavli is binding because we accepted it. And the Tanaim were accepted among the Rambam because they accepted it. The Rabbanut HaRashit is accepted upon us because we accepted it. So you have to ask, is that true? And all this nice lumdus about the power of the Posek as the representative of the Sanhedrin Agadol, as your personal shofet, sheyeb yamecha, v'chule, is entirely predicated, and we've said over and over, no matter how powerful a Posek is, without the Sanhedrin Agadol, Yoshev Yerushalayim, you need acceptance of the people. So Rav Aaron says, as we turn to examine the current state of the chief rabbin in Israel, one wonders how much of the foregoing is truly relevant. Right? This is where he says, Morda Asra and benefits of local rabbinate, etc., etc. That was the earlier part of the article. But does this make any difference? The contribution of the Rabbanut HaRashit to the administration and supervision of areas crucial to the halachic existence is obvious. right? They've set up, the what they do in terms of marriage and in kashrus, etc. It's clear the benefits. It's also clear the downsides, but whatever. Equally self-evident, however, is the fact that as a quintessential rabbinic authority, whether as a spiritual leadership in the broader sense or with regard to the specific area of psak, it now carries relatively limited weight. Secularists and Haredim normally ignore it, while the non-Orthodox actively fight it. Its status in the Dati Lumi community is more secure, but even there, many offer it little more than honorific lip service, having recourse to it only at their convenience. Moreover, as it has become increasingly regarded as the virtual patrimony of a dominant faction, its base of support has narrowed, and the number of those who truly look to it for guidance has dwindled. Even in the world of yeshivot is there are not many who, confronted with conflicting psakim of the Rabbanut HaRashit and Sefer Shlomo Zalman Orbach, would routinely prefer the former. Well, when there is reasonable consensus about the appointed procedure, this status can be readily conferred and assumed halachic force. In its absence, however, the title rings hollow. As previously noted, it is entirely possible that even if the choice of a central authority to be optional, if a community decides to create the post, decisions of its occupant may become binding. That only obtains, however, so long as the institution and whoever is invested with its power is truly recognized. There is little doubt that the chief rabbinate is not presently master of what it regards as its own domain. To its proponents, it is a proto-messianic precursor. To many, however, it is either anachronistic or premature. One may celebrate this fact or lament it, but I don't see how it can be questioned. Yes, Ariel.
If you, like you're saying, this is the way it is now, if we assume for a moment that at one time the Rabbanut HaRashit was accepted, couldn't you argue that acceptance could never be revoked?
If it was Haskamas Kol Klal Yisrael, probably. That did not happen. It was Haskamas Kol Klal Yisrael. Yeah, I mean, that's the Kesef Mishnah's argue about the Gemara. Right. That there was at some point Haskamas Kol Klal Yisrael. If that were the case, fine. Otherwise, no. Right? Barring that, no. Right? Meaning, you may be bound to your decision, your children or not. Right?
By Kol, you mean literally every single person?
No, but I mean, whatever we mean by Kol. Whatever we mean by Kol, right? Rove, Ruba de Ruba, I don't know. Yeah, Sasha.
The fact that people come to Israel, almost every single person here is male, yeah. The fact that they had to go through the Rabbanut conversion marriage, doesn't that prove that they accepted it in some sort of way or another?
No. It means that the law happens to give them the power.
To this country, you have to accept it.
No, you don't.
Have to accept it.
No, you don't.
No.
First of all, no. Right, I made Aliyah. I got married in America. I'm not a convert. Right, all I need, right? And they accepted me as Jewish because I had a letter from my shul rabbi in America that I was Jewish. What acceptance do I have in my... Right? They are bureaucrats. I have to accept the unfortunate reality that there are incompetent bureaucrats in this country. That is true. But as halachic authority, tamimly, it's not Rav Yitzchak Yosef that I was reporting to when I made Aliyah. It was some person in America representing the Jewish agency who said, you have the right paperwork so that I can check off the box. In what sense did I accept them? Right, the Rabbanut says a lot of things are kosher. Do I eat at every Rabbanut restaurant? Do I have to as a living? No. Right? Right? A lot of people only eat Mahadrin. Right? The Rabbanut Efrat doesn't accept regular Rabbanut. Even the regular Rabbanut Hechsher in Efrat is Rabbanut Mahadrin. Right? Because they don't accept the authority of the chief rabbinate to say that regular Rabbanut is kosher. In what sense are they... You're going to tell me what I made Aliyah? When I made Aliyah, Yonah Metzger was still on his way out as chief rabbi. Come on. Like, I was bound by... I accepted Yonah Metzger as my chief rabbi while he was currently indicted, right? And he couldn't leave his house because he was under house arrest. That you call acceptance? Because technically... I remember my first week in Eretz Yisrael, Ora and I were walking. We had to do paperwork in Yerushalayim for Aliyah. Wanted to have lunch, and I walked into a restaurant, and a big sign, kosher, and the Rabbanut HaRashit signed Yonah Metzger. I'm like, really? Really? Right, I'm supposed to trust it? In what sense do I accept the Rabbanut HaRashit? Right, yes, they happen to be the bureaucrats, or the office of the bureaucrats. Great. Wonderful. That doesn't mean I accept them, their authority. Okay. So, to summarize, Rabbi Yisraeli, you see how he puts these arguments all together, but, as Ariel correctly noted, and Ril Chansin said many years ago, what we've seen over and over again is that psak, for all the discussion about the theoreticals of psak and lotasur and etc., barring the actual Sanhedrin HaGadol Yosh Yerushalayim that gets its authority because they are Sanhedrin HaGadol Yosh Yerushalayim, barring them, P'sak is binding for one reason and one reason only, and that is somebody, whoever it is that's in question, accepted their authority. If you didn't, they don't have authority. So, it's very nice that we have all this nice lumdus in Rav Yisraeli. But, as Rav Aaron point out correctly, nobody accepts the Rabbanut. If nobody accepts the Rabbanut, then all of this was an exercise in futility. So that is attempt one. Now I want to go a little bit farther. Right? This is an article, this is a very daring article, I think, right, by Uri Dasberg, not sure I pronounce it in English, who knows, in Chumen Yud Aleph, is part of this whole... He was, for many years, an editor of Tchumen, until I think it was Lamed Bet or Lamed Gimel. Right? You probably have seen memorials for him. You probably passed his house at some point. If you walk around the Yishuv, he lived here. Whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, he was an editor. So he has a lot of these summary articles. So he attempted to summarize the halachic issues involved in the Rabbanu Nereshi. And you'll see, yet another attempt, but here we're going to deal with some issues we haven't dealt with in the past, okay? So now he says, Kishaviyo Rabbanim HaRashim L'Yisrael Shlita Da'atah Benogel She'ela Shuniyam L'Chogit Bam Yisrael Midach Oba L'Achzik V'chol Shetchei Eretz Yisrael Hayu Sh'ra'u Tam Lefkam B'kach Rabbanim HaRashim HaMashim Gam Kavot Beit Din HaGadol Shlo Yeruim Mabim Da'atah B'She'ela Tziburin HaMagira. You see this? It's after Rabbi Yisraeli got it.
Oh, it's something in Aleph?
It's where it says Tumin Krach Yud Aleph.
It's like a random bolded one.
There. What?
It's the third page.
Third page. Right? So there was a case where the Rabbanut did more than just Paskin. Without being asked. Right? Now let's go to the next question. This is going to lead us to next week. Okay? Bigger question. So far we can agree that let's say that people had accepted the Rabbanut or Rashid or asked the Mishayla, it would be binding. Rav Yisraeli thinks that everyone accepted them. Rav Aaron points this is not true, so they don't have authority. Great. Let's assume for a moment they did have authority. What would they have authority over?
Religious things.
Let's be very simple here. Shailas, they were asked. That is what they would have authority over. But now there was a problem. The Rabbanut decided, unprompted, to weigh in on a shayla, which was not only purely halachic. Right now, we got two questions here. Right, what right does whatever authority you think a posek has? Does he have authority over things to turn up psak? And is there any reason that he should offer his authority or offer his advice unprompted? Right, that's the next step. Right. Yes. Right, so far, we've agreed that. So far we've noted that people's authority comes from acceptance. So, okay, but is there any reason that they should be able to, right, once you've accepted them in any way, shape, or form, can they now impose, right, onto you? Well, you've accepted me in a certain respect, so now I have the ability to, unprompt, tell you what to do, and under what circumstances. Okay? So, this once happened. The Rabbanut did that. They waited in Ashar, they weren't asked. So he said, Anachat Yisot Shalom Iskirazu, Hirshim Bechok Lagabe, Itlutam Shel Dayanim. So he said, let's start with the law. The law reads like this. Ein al Dayan Marot Ben Yenei Shvita Zolad Maratot Shal Adin Leviv Udan. A judge has no authority except over a question he's actually asked. Mora Din Din Torah Shal Piv Din Dan HaDayan Huan Norma Shal Piyat Tzarech HaDayan Leit Naif. Anach Nochiach La'alam. So he says, I want to prove. Shedin HaTorah lo rak mafsher l'dayan u'mil gam l'rav rashi lashmiya et da'ato binosim shonim. I want to prove that not only does the Torah allow, but it obligates a dayan, and therefore the Rav Rashi, to express his opinion. El af mechayiv eto lasot kach v'im einu mekayim chovazu arev chas v'shalom v'bchinat avaryan v'chotein. If he doesn't, he's a sinner. V'lo yaleh l'adat shedayin yidareish lavor Al Hadin Lifnei Leviv Hudan. And no one would even think that a dayan is limited to what he was asked. Great. So now let's go through the questions. First one. Right now, even in the past, we've talked about, and I've tried to emphasize this each time, the extent to which the authority of P'sak always stems primarily from
question.
The laity, Now, right, Uri Dasberg is trying to push in the other direction, and by creating or pointing to in directions that say that in fact there is an obligation on Poskim to weigh in, what is he doing? Right, he's pushing against what I said in the last few weeks. Right, because until now, what we've been saying, and even Rav Israeli was predicated on the notion that authority starts primarily with the laity. And as much authority as Poskim have, they only have it because you chose it, which always leaves authority in your hands. The second, he says that no, Rabbanim have a chiyuv to express their opinion. And Mimela, why would they have a chiyuv to express their opinion? Because you have a chiyuv to listen, right? All the work that we've done the last few weeks to open up that role of the laity, right? Even when laity are not poskening, but simply in the fact that they are the ones choosing who are the poskim, you, right, shut that down by saying no. The Rabbanut has the responsibility to actively go out and express their opinion, and you have to listen, meaning you don't get to choose. Yes?
How do you choose who to follow?
But what he's already saying, right, is you may not have that right. I mean, once someone is defined as the person who has the right to express their opinion in a certain circumstance, right, you're implying that there's something not about you, right? There's something about the posting that gives them authority over you, not that you give the authority to the posting, but the other way around. Yeah, David.
What if you were to disagree with that definition? In other words, we assume that the Rabbi Rashi is defined as an authoritative posting. What if I said, I'll accept any position of an authoritative posting, I just don't think that's him?
Well, so that's what we said before. That's basically Rav Lichtenstein's claim, right? Is that as much as you say that with the Rabbanut, we didn't accept the Rabbanut. So there's nothing you can do. What he wants to do is say that you don't have that right.
Well, no matter what, there will always need to be some sort of acceptance, because there will always be multiple Rabbanim expressing multiple positions. So each one will tell me to follow his own position. So I'll have to accept somebody, bottom line. You can't remove the laity at all. The laity will always have a decision.
I think you can't remove the laity, but certain people will say that's not true, right? I mean, think about it, right? Rav Israeli basically did do that. You missed the end of Rav Israeli, I think. But Rav Israeli said, look, most people accepted the Rav Rashi. Now, even those people who didn't accept the Rav Rashi have to, and if they don't, they violate, they'll just go to do. Right? That's the way of me twisting your arm into accepting them. Right? I mean, you can choose not to, but then you'll be an avarian. Right?
Okay.
So there are halachic mechanisms of, right, twisting your arm into accepting me as a posek. Right? The question is, are they legitimate? Right? Rav Israeli tried.
Right. Is that what this person is doing?
Well, let's see what he does, right? So, right, he's in general, his articles are very carefully written. I don't always agree, but they're very, very organized, and it's helpful to read his articles. Not necessarily, like, meaning he wasn't himself that big of an authority, but because he lays out the issues very clearly, and then you can figure out, right, what the questions to ask are. Okay, so he starts, what? So first he notes, Chovato shel Rav la'anot l'shaala. So the first question is,
does the Rav have authority over?
No. Chovato shel Rav la'anot l'shaala. The first question you have to ask, if we want to start now, not from the vantage point of the shoel, but we want to start from what Poskim can do. So the first thing we have to do is establish that Poskim have to speak out. Right? Once you've done that, right, then even unprompted, right, you're creating precedent for a psak existing. So where does he get it from? So he gets it from Mismak, Mitzvah Kufyat Aleph. It's a very important mitzvah. You should read it. You should memorize it. You should know that it exists. You should read the Smak Mitzurich there, which we will see later in the year. I know you don't know what the Smak Mitzurich is. That's fine.
You mentioned it 3 or 4 times last year as well.
Correct. For the same reason, the same Smak Mitzurich. But otherwise, you wouldn't know what the Smak Mitzurich is. Yes. He does have other important things. Though I can't think of any of those. No, I don't know if he has other important things. He's important. You know, it's a summary.
He's the door of this conversation.
Okay.
I want to know the door of me.
Yes. Rishon Glasner.
What else did he say?
The great, the fourth generation grandson of the.
But what else did he say besides passing for the Rav Avitai Rav Aaron question?
Oh, he says a bunch of very interesting things in that introduction. A lot of very important things. Your father loves that introduction. He loves it. He quotes it like whenever he can. Okay. So, Smach Mitzvah Yuf Kuf Yud Aleph says, Bein Minyan Mitzvah Moneh Baal Sefer Mitzvah Katan, Es HaMitzvah Chal Adam LaHashiv L'Shol Davar Hara Im Yodea. There is a Mitzvah Aseid Areisa for someone who is asked a Shaila to answer it. Right? So, what have we gotten rid of, first of all? The ability of you to say,
I don't know.
I don't want to answer. Right, we haven't yet gotten to the point where you have to say anything if you're not unprompted. The first thing is, if prompted, you must answer.
Could they agree to go ask, like, could you, if you say, I don't want to answer, could they say, okay, and then you ask something else?
I mean, they can, but you may have done something wrong. Right, you, as opposed to a chacham shagil ora, may have no choice. Hamitzvah Eifu min HaTorah U'mekorah B'Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? U'lohorot Ebnei Yisrael Asher Mimenu Lamdu B'Torah Kohanim U'lohorot Zu Horad Ahinu Horad Izer V'Hetir Mikan Shechacham Shinam Horah Horad Horah Al-Shalav Afshu Yodea Mahi Horah Over Al-Mitzvahs Aseh De'Oraisa. And if you don't answer, you are violating a mitzvah's Aseh. But now we take it a step further. There is a Gemara in two places of a Dazar Daf Yod Tes Amud Beis, and so to Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, that very cleverly reads from the Paling Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "Ki Rabim Chalalim Mipilav Atzumim Kol Harugah." So Chazal darshan two things: Zeh Talmud Chacham Shehegiya LaHoraa Veino Mora, and Zeh Talmud Shelohegiya LaHoraa UMora. Who are these people who have caused many carcasses to be filled? It's a chacham who's not ready to posek, who to pasken and does, and someone who is ready to posek, who pasken and does not. Now, in brackets, what are Chazal telling you by linking those two parts of the pasuk? What are Chazal telling you? Right, think methodologically. Right? The fact that Chazal darshan from two halves of one pasuk that it is usur for a chacham shegiel orah to not be paskin, and for someone who is not qualified to paskin to paskin. What are they teaching you?
They're equating them.
Now, why are they equating them?
Because they both lead to sin.
How?
Because you do the wrong thing. Like the why? Person who got the person
David
will receive the wrong answer
because it's very well understood why a person who's not qualified to paskin and paskins anyway will lead to someone to sin.
Exactly.
Presumably, they're saying the same thing will occur if someone who's qualified to paskin does it. In other words,
why?
The question will go to someone else who
doesn't. Exactly. Right? I think, right, when you read the Gemara carefully, what comes out is exactly what David said, is that where does the responsibility for a posek who can paskin come from to paskin?
Because
otherwise, someone is going to weigh in. I promise you. If you are qualified and you don't weigh in, who is going to weigh in? Someone who should not be weighing in. This happens all the time. Right? This is routine. In the whole world. Right? And yes, people who are here for a Shechter heard him comment on this more than once. Right? He has commented on this many times. And has written about this many times. And Pitzedek. Good and fine. Let's skip down here. We'll continue a little bit. Right, so then he quotes he quotes that Gemara and makes this point. Skip down a paragraph here. And this doesn't just mean that you have to answer when something comes to court. Should Amar Shmuel, and this is what David said, and this is the first time I found precedent for it. And so it's not just there's a mitzvah to paskin, but the fact that the Gemara connects the obligation of someone who can paskin with the issur of someone who can paskin to refrain from paskining tells you that it's not just that if you're asked the question, you have to answer, but you have a responsibility of preventing avel. Right? He ends up adding a mitzvah d'oraita lo tasa avel, and it makes sense. Because, and this is an aspect we haven't seen yet, if you think that part of your responsibility is to ensure that if you are qualified to paskin, that people don't jump in when they shouldn't, then what's going to end up happening is that you are going to be forced to paskin even when not necessarily asked. Now, just to emphasize this point more and look at paragraph 2, he adds and he says, I'll give you another mitzvah that's going to create this obligation, which is, I'll give you two actually, bifnei iver lo sitein michshol, u'mitzvah tochacha. Namely, Moshan Arama Mashmashin Maharot overall is turn of Safta Raisa Bulufne Ivelo Sitin Michal. Arama Michin Kacham Jigila Rabin Amora Raisamonea Turban and Michal of Neivarim. Der Klaal Mikubala Nirsh is sort of Neiver, Kal Rakasham of Shal, Eno Yaholi Kachel Klaal, Losio Shal Machil. So normally we talk about Lifne Iver, where the person who is faltering would not have faltered out you. But Mekred did not. Asholi Yacholi Kashel Gam Im Lo Yerav and Nishal Bim Tzaklal V'chlal Ketzer Yachol Adam Lavor Al Matan Mechshol Nei Iver B'Shei V'Al Taseh And Yitachein Shemikan Chizuk L'Diver Maritz Chiyus Shavot Mekrim Shal Chalis Rav Nei Iver Adayin Chola Chol Acheret Minat Arav Hi Choche Oche Echto Chir Ami Techa. He said, aye. So how could you say that there's Lifnei Iver? Right? He could have violated without you, right? If no one paskin, you also would. He said, no, because related to Lifnei Iver is Hocheach Tochiach. Right? Even in a case where technically there's no Lifnei Iver, because look, if no one weighs in, so he'll do the wrong thing. He can do the wrong thing whether you paskin or not. Doesn't matter. Right? The existence of this notion of Lifnei Iver tells you that you should keep in mind yet another mitzvah, which is Hocheach Tochiach. Then in number 3, he adds in addition that chovato shel rav la'arod lo sha'alav shabav nechav shulchan aruch. Right, in addition, you have an obligation to teach Torah to people who come to you. Fine. Sikum 4. Nimtzeinu limidim eifo shechovato shel chacham la'arod no ve'en mikam mikarod. The obligation to paskin comes from several places. Mitzvah aseda raisel horos ben Israel isrim divrei kabbalah imana me'orash ne'emar asum kol arugea isr zeh govel b'isr shvitas damim. That I skipped because I don't know what that means. Gimel hanimna me'orah over al isr lifnei iver l'sitein michshol dalad yish chovah la'arod midin hakeach tochir la'midecha. Hey, chova al adam lameter al tamidava darin levan bezug v'shinan dem levanecha. And the sakeim perek zeh b'divrei Rab Chaim Palagi b'sivro ginzei Chaim marachor chet simin nun zayin yeish chiyuv u'mitzvah gedola shiodiyah chacham edato. And now put this all together, and he takes a passage from Rab Chaim Palagi, who is Usher, you want me here to quote very important Sephardi poskim. Here we go, Rav Chaim Palagi, who's like one of the top 10 most quoted Sephardi poskim in modern tshuva literature. Maybe top 5. Comes up all the time. Okay. And he says, Yesh chiyuv mitzvah gedola shiyah chacham edato. There is a mitzvah for a chacham to let his opinion be known. La'gid kfi mare libo v'chazon asher chaza. Afilu shahayu advarim gvoim ne'elamim admod, even if they're rarefied things, v'kol shekeng sholem imenu dvar halacha v'ora, and even more so when they ask you halacha, o sheachrei ben chachamim beino l'shamayim v'kol shekeng yish chil Hashem v'chilat Torah b'davar, and definitely there's chil Hashem sheinu chayiv l'mnoed atzmo, he doesn't have to hold himself back v'chayiv l'galot dato v'entarach lomar ibhu l'afrushim eisura. And obviously if you are trying to prevent people from violating Yisurim, Kayadeshi Igled Daatama O Yaskim Bidavar, Mashual Dat Emed Vanava Vitzedit Kayema Yan Vafilum Loit Kayema Yom Yit Kayem Lamachar Shavo Yerashem Kabudiram. And even if no one will listen to you now, someone will listen to you down the line. Chola Frushe Gavra Shabar Damin. If you even separate one person from Israel, that's a great thing. Vakama Nizikin Vachavalot. The something v'chil Hashem v'chil Torah yotze b'shtika heim na'asim. I skipped line yotze mikam hachamim shem onim la'agid ki ashar ma shem maskimim lifi ha'emet kam hachamim mitrabot b'Yisrael y'vizeh. And how many chil Hashem, because people don't express their opinion, v'afilu b'shtika heim na'ashim, they'll be punished even for being silent, k'divur b'zor ha'kadosh. And those people who are chassidim, and when they see echil Hashem, they stay out of it. Should not be involved in machlokes. Lo yafahim osim. They're not doing the right thing. Because you are allowing echil Hashem, you are not stopping yitzelamid from the. Whatever. Magam shein anashim l'shtadel yod ish v'zeh l'shono perish hu kimi sheino nichlan machloket al derech lo tov. Anyone who stays at machloket for bad reason eino chosh l'elbon tarakono is not worried about the Torah of God v'eino nichlan b'derech anashim v'lazeh b'makom ha'hu shal yod ish hu v'chezka v'yisel ish. Right, you should be a man v'derech chayam v'kayamim, and he's right. Eich yitachein ha'adam shereyet yarei Hashem v'ra she'achirim v'vazin and eterov l'omdev v'yasa chasidosh l'itabel v'machloket negin Hashem v'negin Mashicho. Now how can you refrain from being involved when you see that people are involved in machloket and when they're fighting God? Hu chosid shote, you are a fool. It's like the chassid shote that sees a woman drowning and doesn't pull her out because of iser negia. So too, you who aren't weighing in on your halachic opinion and saving people are a chassid shote. Mochein hu inyan zemamish. It's like the princess being trampled. Because the Torah is the daughter of God, how could you watch it being trampled? And now he points out that the law of the chief rabbinate, in fact, also gives them the possibility. And that's the next part. He said, it's not true, this is true halachically, this is the role of the Rav. And if you look down, right, Tafkidam Oitzat, Tavinu Etzahim, and he looks, one, Matan Shuvot V'chavadav, Vinei Alecha L'sholim Beitzatav, two is pulot kiruv atzibor l'arkei Torah mitzvot. That one role is yes, is to answer shaylos that they got. The second is to be makariv people, and three is kol pulah hadrusha l'vitzua takida al pi kol din. And then he goes through the same thing, but not about the chief rabbi, but about the local rabbis, right? And again, he says chovato shel rav l'itachez l'nosim b'yizmaton. Just look at the titles, and you'll see it's the same thing. You can read it inside if you want. One is mitzvah tochacha v'esher lefnei iver. Two is mitzvah talmud torah. Three is itchayvuto shel rav shelo la'ashiv l'sheilod. And four, hashpat matan piskei halachah dato shel dayan. The last thing, if you skip down to the end of the next page, to hey, until now everything is just applying it a little bit more to the local rabbinate. So now he says, "Nosim arayum l'tichaso shel rav." Now the question is, well, what should a rabbi be involved in? So he said, "Torat Yisrael einu mafrida bein chukim bale ofi dati chevrati mishpati lumi uishi." Halacha does not recognize a distinction between politics, social things, law, national things, personal, hakol, bechol, mikol, kol, kalul, ba, everything is in Torah. Dine tefillah, shabbos, umoe, kashrus, ochel, valavush, yachzei, mischar, vavoda, dine nezikin, chai, ishus, halachos, akruchos, bleidazo, shel adam, michad, gisa, ubik, kurato, meidach, right, from birth to death. And he says, this is what Professor Menachem Alon said in Mishpat HaEvri, in Ofi Adati Alumi Shal Mishpat Evrim, he writes this point. And then, right, just as the kicker, he said, who was it who thought and can prove without a shadow of a doubt that not only does the Rav weigh in on halacha, but he weighs in on everything in life? Who said that? Who said everything is halacha? The Rav! This is how you know he lives in Orange Foot, right? Israelis relying on the Rav, they must have been associated with this yeshiva. V'chein niseach edvarim ha-Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Salavichik b'ma'amaro ish halacha. And he said, right, the Rav said, ein lecha tofa realit she'ein li shalacha yachas kavua elam erosh v'zika a priori. There is nothing that the ish halacha does not have an opinion about, has a position about a priori. Mushuchleledu behira. Whom mitanyein biyitzirat sociologiot hamidina? Right, he's involved in right social constructs hamidina hachevra v'chasei yichidim b'toch masechet hatzibur. Right, the nation, the community, the relationship between individuals. Halacha makifa dinei masal matan nizikin shchinim toein nitan malveh loveh shutvim shulchim poalim umanim v'shomrim v'gomer chaye mishpacha gittin kedushin chalitza sota miyun zchuyor aisha v'abal chorotei v'shibudeyim mechuvarim umilubanim al yada milchama sanhedrin batidinim v'onchim heim minosei halacha rabim gechol hayam bal halacha asuk the problemot, thank you. Problemot psychologiot arucha me'eres midat rechava mimeyam. Right, he takes that wonderful poetic passage from the Rav and makes a very radical halachic claim on this, which is all that which I've said before, that a Rav has an active duty to go out and paskin and influence and teach and prevent lishnei iver. That doesn't just apply to Torah. No, rachman al etzlan. It applies to everything, as Beferish and Rabbi Soloveitchik. Right? Hadiyun osek b'derech klal rak b'dvarim simishur adin. Normally, they only deal with things that are actual halacha. And normally, they don't have the right to force you to go beyond the letter of the law. Ulam b'torav rashihu v'av chayav. But the Rav Rashi is not just dayan, but he is chief pulpit rabbi. And chief pulpit rabbi is not just achrai on the technical din, but what is he achrai on?
Everything.
On everything, your whole spiritual life, to teach you and to lead you in ethics, etc., etc. Right? And that argument I put at the bottom for you, a summary from Gil student of what all different people thought, right, the role of your shul rabbi was. Right? You can just look at them. Right? Fearless, right, from Rav Shamshel Follow Hirsch, fearless devotion, studying Torah, dedicated leader, role model, education of the children. The Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, studying, teaching Torah, defending the faith, supporting the poor, arousing love of the nation, encouraging fear and love of God, teaching Torah and judging cases, creating peace and mutual support. Rav Chaim Ozer, teaching Torah and Halacha, establishing Jewish education, availability of kashrus and eruv, a mikvah, etc., etc., caring for the underprivileged, and the Sri Deish, teaching Torah, ruling on Jewish law, both as opposing and as dying, preaching and imbuing religious spirit, and caring for the underprivileged. Right? So, Uri Dasberg, right, took us to the in many ways, the opposite extreme. He said, look, it's very nice. It's true that a lot of the authority of a Rav comes from the fact that he's accepted, but there's a whole other story to this, which is a posek is chayev to paskin. And you might say he's only chayev to paskin when he has to shayla. No, because he's responsible midin. He's responsible within Lifnei Iver, and that means he's responsible to go out actively and make sure that you're not doing anything wrong. And if he doesn't, he violates Yisurim. And it's not just the law, but everything is the law, and even the things which aren't law. He is the chief pulpit rabbi. Right? So what did he do? Right? Well, yes, but in some level, but what did he do? Right? By focusing, until now, I've made the argument over and over, and this is, even Rabbi Israeli is accepting this, and Lachamsin very clearly accepted this, that the role of, and the authority of poskim fundamentally come from the fact that people accept them, ask the questions. It's your responsibility to seek out someone who's going to answer your halachic shaylas. Yes, they have a lot of authority, especially if you happen not to be able to poskim, so once you're entering yourself into their, either for this authority for the specific shayla, or in general, their realm of influence, fine, you've accepted them, but you, in the end of the day, still have to choose, and we saw, right, you have the responsibility of picking the right person, right, domer rabcha l'mal hashem sevakos, right, you have to ensure that he's ethical, but right, there's another perspective out there, right, which is if you focus not on that aspect, but you say, well, there's another side to this story, which is that a posek has the responsibility to ensure that the Torah is kept, and he has a responsibility as a leader to prevent people from violating Yisurim, and to make sure that they're educated, and to make sure that, you know, he's the chief, you know, he's the chief pulpit rabbi, so he has to make sure that they go beyond the letter of the law if that's what the morals of the Torah call for. And you make the very radical leap that everything is halacha, then suddenly what you've done is you've totally and completely shut down autonomy. Because, right, you focus the discussion not on the role of the individual approaching the poskim, but rather you've created a separate obligation that binds the poskim to enter into the arena, to offer their opinion, and created sort of, right, or a mitzius bashetach, even without people accepting them, right? Now, there's still the problem, which is, as David noted correctly, Still, it's going to be very, very hard, unless you pull a Rav Israeli move, to actually eliminate autonomy. Because in order to eliminate autonomy, you have to pull a Rav Israeli move, which is, since a lot of people accepted them, now you have to, or you violate the Lotus Code to do. Right? That's how you force somebody.
It also doesn't
right?
eliminate autonomy, because I still have to assume that I'm bound by Rav Israeli's idea.
Good. I'm saying, if you accepted that, yes. I mean, if you thought that was true halachically, you would be bound. Rav Dasher doesn't go quite that far, right? Because he doesn't eliminate the possibility, right? He, right, seems to be influenced by the fact that the law gives people this role, and Mimela, once they have the role and they have to fill it, then people have to listen to them, right? But you're right, it could be that someone will say, okay, fine, I'm going to accept a rabbi, and I have a rabbi, I have Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he's not bound by the rabbanut, and I really just don't care what you say, but I really have someone who's guiding me spiritually, right? You still have a sort of a way out, but you have limited autonomy by saying that the fundamental role of poskim is not to wait for people to accept them and then guide them, but to go out there and make sure that people accept them. Right? Once you do that, right, yes, it's true that people could find somebody else, but once you're forcing them to create a metzius bashetach where their opinion has already been expressed, right, you've started to eliminate autonomy, or at least make it more difficult, right, or more constrained, because once there's a right reality on the ground, it's much harder for people to break out of it. Okay? So, to summarize, in the last few weeks we talked about how, why is Pesach binding, right? Is it about acceptance? How does that acceptance work, right? By locale, ideology, etc., etc. But we pointed out that fundamentally authority, I think the classic conception of authority really is, ironically, laity-based, right? That authority only is created by the fact that you've accepted someone as your avenue of lotasur. But, right, there is a whole other perspective out there, which is that, no, right, Rabbanim, the fact that you are a posek means that you have to express your position in reality, and that you have to create a Mitzvah Bashetach, Lifnei Iver, Hochacha, etc., etc. Once you're working in that perspective, right, that's the other perspective, where really Psach's role is not to enable you to be Mavar your Sveikos, but actually to push you against your will in a certain direction, right? So that second perspective is what we're going to pick up with next week, because it's really this really came to a fore with the question of Das Torah, which is, this sort of sentiment builds into this whole world called Das Torah, where Rabbanim think it is their responsibility to issue proclamations about, well, everything, right? And they think they're binding, right? Which is why, correctly, that world the world that accepts Das Torah really downplays autonomy. So what I want to do next week is explore how Das Torah, modern notion of Das Torah developed, where it comes from, is it legitimate, and what that has to do with our conception of Psach and the balance between autonomy and authority. And then that should close that first unit of questions, I think, but we'll have to see next week. Okay.